sinner, and I need the forgiveness of your sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, how we want to be near.
Welcome and blessings from Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast. We are so grateful you decided to join us as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. We offer these broadcasts with the hope that they will help you to understand the Scriptures more deeply and follow Jesus more passionately. We are praying that for you as you listen today. If you have specific prayer needs, we would like to know about them. Please text us at 772-205-6552. Today, we are listening to message number 7 in a series titled, How Big is Your God? This message was recorded on the last Sunday morning service of 2020. No one could ever have expected what we all experienced this past year, and no one can really predict what will happen in 2021. Some of us are shaken and are still shaking. But the God of the universe sees next year and the rest of time, and His perspective about the events is much different from ours. And He is still sovereign and still good. Have you ever thought that God's sovereignty extends to the fact that you are alive at this point in history? Have you ever thought that God intends for you to be a part of His plan for these specific times? He is the same God that Abraham and David and Solomon followed. He has an intentional plan for your glory and your good in your life in this time. Ask God to speak to your heart and mind as we listen to this message from our pastor, Sam Chess.
Let me talk, and this one's heartfelt. How big is your God? Number 7. And this is not just another sermon series in a long line over the years. I believe that God specifically led me to talk about the sovereignty of God at this tumultuous time in our history. These are unprecedented times. And I realize that every politician gets up and uses that phrase. These are unprecedented times. This is an unprecedented thing, only to find out that whatever he's talking about happened 12 times in recent history. But seriously, have any of us quite faced what we faced last year and what we anticipate the unknown that we're getting ready to face in the year ahead? And at the top of our list of unknowns, of course, everybody kind of thinks about the same thing, is the pandemic. And I'm going to talk a little negative here for just a little bit. I promise you, we won't stay negative. But I want to make sure we understand kind of where we are right now as we leave one year and go into the next. The pandemic numbers have been going up rather than down. And we're told just this last week that a new virus strain emerged out of the UK. What does that mean? We don't know. We're constantly told, and I made a crack about this earlier, we're constantly told that science will lead us to the truth. But every new month, the science seems to have changed its mind. And many now just roll their eyes when they hear that word, which is supposed to mean something to all of us. Two vaccines are out with 19 more in the works. What will be the result? We don't know. Will you take the vaccine? Some aren't sure. My wife, Sue, and several other medical types among us are gathering information from reputable sources to try to determine the medical underpinnings of the vaccines as they come out. Most notably, do they use fetal body parts in their production? And we all know, or we should all know, what the term fetal body parts tends to mean. This week, China did say they have extra vaccines if we need them. Now, don't get turned off by the negative here. I'm going to show you God in all of this. I promise that I am. But let me just add a little bit more to the realism of where we are as we move from 1 year into the year ahead. I was talking to someone about investments this last week. And many of you in this room, or many of you that are watching on the stream right now, have enjoyed whole decades. You've told me you've enjoyed whole decades of your life, with some exceptions, where you could plant your savings in a fund and it would be somewhat safe to yield a compounded return at the end of the year, and you would do it again year after year, sometimes for a decade or more at a time. And now many of you say you're very tentative about where you're headed this next year. We're not sure how to plan, who will come to our house the next vacation, the next holiday, who's going to be where, who's going to be in whose house, or where the kids will come home to if they even go off to college at all. Don't know. We just don't know. I don't know that we've ever been in a time when we just didn't know. So can we really accurately say right about now, these are unprecedented times? New territory, going where no man, woman, boy or girl has ever gone before. But I'm asking every one of you to remember something very, very clearly. You were handpicked by God to be on this planet right now, at this point in time. You weren't born to fulfill your life purpose in the 1600s, none of you. You weren't born to fulfill your life purpose in the 1800s or the early 1900s. Some of you were barely alive. God puts you here right now for right now. And whatever's going to happen in this world or to this world, whatever you personally are going to face in the year ahead, God determined long before you were ever born that the events of your life would unfold in the tumultuous years of 2020 and 2021. And he has a plan for your life. In fact, God has a vibrant and victorious plan for your life in 2021. And I'm not saying that in the glib way that sometimes that's said. I totally believe, I completely believe that God has a vibrant, victorious plan for your life in 2021. All of the circumstances that have gone into the development of your life, both good and bad, and we've all had both. Some of you have had some worse than others. Both good and bad have led you to what God wants to accomplish in and through your life in the year ahead. It's all there. It's already. God doesn't waste your sorrows. And he is prepared to use whatever has worked its way in and through your life up to this point. Number two, to those who have been divinely prepared by God for this moment in time, we are not going to cower at our circumstances, yes? We are not going to quake at what unfolds. We are going to use this year to excel in eternal ways like we never have before, yes? Now we're there. Number three, the darker the path ahead, the more brightly God wants you to shine light on this path. Back wall, let your light shine so brightly that others can see their way out of the dark. And that sounds like more glib sayings, but there's actually deep theology there. John 1:4, we've been looking at the last 2 weeks. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness can never extinguish it. How? Where? Jesus went back to heaven. Where in the world is the light supposed to be shining from? The biblical assumption is that we are going to be living in times of darkness, in a sin-choked world. And most of the time, most of the world for most of history has done just that. That's been the story. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. 6, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse sin. 7, don't participate in the things these people do. 8, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. You, me, are the light that Jesus started that shines like a laser in the darkness. No matter how dark the darkness becomes, it can't extinguish it. Jesus' words, God's words, and their words for us, and that is true, that the darker the night, the brighter a light tends to shine. Can I just be honest with you today? Shake your head. Over the course of the last few months, there has been something new growing inside of me. After 43 years of preaching, my calling has been increasingly fulfilled to be a declarer of the Word of God without apology. That's something God's given me to do. But I've never made any claims to be prophetic. I often make the joke that I'm not a prophet because I work for a nonprofit organization. And in fact, in the Old Testament, if a prophet prophesied something and it didn't come true, he was supposed to be stoned. And I have a real aversion to being stoned. But in the last few months, God has been stirring more of the thus saith the Lord in me than I've ever experienced before. Let me share with you some of what I think is brewing. There is going to be a stirring in my mind. I believe there's going to be a stirring in this world and in our nation and extending into the church universal. There's going to be a defining of those who are serious about walking out their faith, being lights in a very dark world, and those who simply wear the name Christian as an ornament in their life. When churches were forced to quit meeting because of COVID back in March, the latest stats that we're hearing is that 30% of the people in churches nationwide have simply disappeared. They're not back in the churches that are now meeting, if they are meeting, and they're no longer on the live streams. I was in a meeting with General Jerry Boykin 3 years ago. He's the man who spoke to many of our men at the Civic Center at our conference just 2 months ago. He's the man who offered the Father's blessing prayer. Many of you experienced that. But I was with a small group of pastors out in mid-state with him 3 years ago, and the general who served as Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence before he retired, we'd close the doors, turn off all cameras, and he would work his way through the hot spots in the world, telling us what's really going on in the world as opposed to what the media was telling us was going on in the world. But he said something one day that is still vivid in my mind. And I've shared this with some of you before, but it has never been more pertinent than it is right now. And he didn't seem to mind, as a retired lieutenant general, getting all prophetic. He didn't seem to mind it at all. He said he thought a revival is one day coming to this world. And I do too. It's a question of where the events of Bible prophecy allow a revival to show up. But he said that right now, from his informed and educated perspective, my words, not his, he said the darkness in this world is going to get darker. And the people in churches across the world are going to experience a crisis moment. In his opinion, the people who were being taught that Christianity is all about the sensational, emotional feeling all of the time, or people who were being taught that Christians should be expecting God to pour a solid stream of material blessings into their life all of the time, he said that when the world became more difficult, and he said it would, he gave us a lot of reasons why, that he expected those people to fall like dominoes because their faith had been planted in shallow soil. And I think that's been happening some in our nation this last year. People are talking to me about it. I have other pastors talking to me about it. They're seeing. But he said, in his opinion, that the churches that were rooting people in deep faith in the Word of God, that we're teaching people to be spiritual warriors, that we're living lives of righteousness, that we're teaching people to push back against the darkness with the light of God that was within them. Those churches, he said, would flourish. Outside people would be longing to come to those churches because they would believe that what was inside was genuine and true. I believe that is already happening and that it's going to grow in intensity throughout this next year. God is not shaking his head in confusion, wondering what in the world is going on and how things got so out of hand so quickly. Remember, God is sovereign, sovereign. And what our sovereign God is expecting is that the people that he handpicked to be on this planet for this exact moment in time would rise to the occasion and become 100-watt lumen lights pushing back the darkness, punching into every corner and crevice of the sin-drenched darkness in our society. But Sam, you say, I struggle to have a 40-watt influence. And to be honest, my 40 watts blinks from time to time. And I think God has given me a solution for that this year for us. And I'm going to ask you the question, are you willing to walk it out with me? First, you got to see what it is. But are you willing to walk it out with me this coming year? God led me to begin this series, How Big Is Your God? Understanding God's Sovereignty, right as COVID seemed to be getting its second wind. Right on the heels of a very contentious election. Right as the fragile economy in our nation began to revive, only for entire states to begin to close back down again. And God nudged me. I want you to explain my sovereignty to these people. But God, I said, I don't understand your sovereignty myself. I told you I've never preached on this topic as a series before in my life. Truth is, God's sovereignty has made me angry at times at him. Same question everybody else asks. God, if you're sovereign, then why? Why? I used this image on the back wall on purpose. God is trustworthy because he is sovereign. Our belief in God's sovereignty is exactly why sometimes we question his trustworthiness. Sometimes. Let's be honest here. God, I believe you're sovereign. So why did my dad die suddenly of a heart attack? God, I believe you're sovereign. Why did that stupid guy run the red light and destroy my car? God, I believe you're sovereign. Why is there COVID at all? Why, God? If you're sovereign, then why? And one of the things I have learned this last 2 months is if you want to see God's sovereignty at work, you don't put your eyes right up against today's circumstances. You won't be able to see it if you have your eyes pressed in, where the sinful actions of others often are hurting us deeply, where awful people are doing awful things to other people, where these fragile, ailing bodies that we're all living in are marching daily toward death. We all are going to die. And our minds try to tell us that if God were truly sovereign, he would cause every bad action on earth to cease. And he would cause every sinful person to become a saint. And he would cause every sickness to be instantly healed. But that's not the picture the Bible paints of God, the panorama of God's sovereign plan. That's not the way the Bible presents it at all. God created a world that was without sin, without sickness, and without decay. We know that. That's Genesis 1:1. And on the far end of it in the book of Revelation, we're told that God is one day again going to present us with a world that is without sin, without sickness, and without decay. But it's this period in between. And this period in between is what fallen humanity caused. It's not about how God did us wrong. Scripture says it's about how we did God wrong. We sinned. We did it. And we still do. We turn our backs on God's grace. We still do. We still are. That's why we as Christians, some who are in this room, including me in front of you, and some who are probably on that stream watching, might say that we're struggling with a flickering 40-watt light. The real story of God's sovereignty is not him swatting at us. It's him reaching out to save us. God's sovereignty is not a club, ever. God's sovereignty is open, extended arms of invitation. If you really want to see it, if you really want to see the sovereignty of God, you have to move back a couple of paces. You have to step back and look at the bigger picture. We've been seeing that in the Bible stories that we've been looking at in the last few weeks. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they had no clue what God was up to when they were drug out of the burning rubble of their hometown of Jerusalem. And they had no possible idea what God was up to when they resisted King Nebuchadnezzar's command to worship the 90-foot statue of gold. They had no concept of what was going to happen next, and they had no clue that after not burning up in the fiery furnace, they would be elevated to some of the highest positions of anybody in the entire empire of Babylon. They probably were still there, by the way, when the Medes and Persians came in and wiped out the Babylonian Empire. We know Daniel was. He didn't go to the den of lions for three more kings after that. They probably were too. They had no concept of that when they stood that day and resisted King Nebuchadnezzar. And more importantly, who could have thunk that 2,500 years later, we would still be talking about them, inspired by their lives? They didn't know any of that because their face was jammed right up against what was going on in their lives on any given day. While God's sovereign plan was marching on, moving the world toward the coming of the Messiah, moving the world toward the place where the Savior of the world would bring salvation to all who believe. Do we see that? Do we see that? We have no idea in our own lives, as we're making this transition into a new year, we have no idea whether 20 years from now, somebody will be looking back at your life and they will be looking at the way that you dealt with the challenges that you have been faced with right now and how you righteously overcame and how you built faithfulness and how you built integrity. They will look at your life, but we don't know now what will be taking place then. And that is why it is so important that we live our lives right now to have a positive impact on the generations that are coming behind us. It isn't really so much about the time the drunk guy ran the red light and ruined your car. It's more about the 6,138 other times that the crazy US-1 driver didn't hit your car, or the time you didn't hit theirs when you were distracted with your chicken nuggets. I'm not by any means suggesting that the events of our lives are not hard. Living on a sin-soaked planet, sometimes they're brutally hard. And some of you here, some of you watching right now, have gone through impossibly difficult times. But we don't know what the fiery furnaces of our life are producing in us. And we don't know what the fiery furnaces of our life are producing in other people. Let me put two images up here side by side on the back screen. Image number one, God is the author of your life. Image number two beside it, let God be the author, not the editor of your life. Do we see the difference? In the first case, God gets to write it all. The preface, every chapter, the epilogue, the footnotes. In the second case, we write it all. And then we allow God to come along and make adjustments, the ones we agree with. He edits. If Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, if they had done that, if God would have been the editor of their life, none of us would ever have heard their names. We wouldn't have any idea who they are. Their lives would have affected maybe dozens of people. But when God wrote their story, bumpy as it seemed, millions and millions of people have been influenced and affected by their lives, especially the bumps. You don't know anything about the rest of their lives. That's not written about. But we know about the bumps. And we know about how they faced the bumps. And we know that they allowed God to write it from end to end. So here's a question on the side screen. Can you trust the sovereign God of the universe to write your story exactly the way he meant it to be when he put you on this planet at this exact moment in time? Can you let him write your story?
We want to take a brief pause from today's broadcast to welcome those just joining us. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We are listening to the seventh message from a new series titled, How Big is Your God? God is trustworthy because he is sovereign. He sees the end from the beginning. He does not answer to anyone. He does what he chooses for his glory. And he is good. And he loves us with a matchless love that longs for us to be what he made us to be. Our response is less about asking why he's doing what he does. It is more about who he wants to be to us in this time. It is more about how he wants to display his loving sovereignty in this moment of our lives and this moment in history. We trust him not because we can figure out what he's doing. We trust him because of who he is. If you'd like to reach out to us during this broadcast or would like us to pray with you, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send your comments, questions, and prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
So when God nudged me to preach these sermons, he actually impressed on me. And this doesn't always happen, but it did this time. There are three parts. And I didn't quite understand what the first part was. I sure didn't understand how to express it. And when I stood up here on Sunday number two, and I said that we were going to keep the title, How Big Is Your God, right through Christmas and into the new year, I didn't understand how that would work out either. Some of you perhaps questioned how keeping the title, How Big Is Your God, matched the Christmas story. How in the world does that match Christmas? The same week, God also impressed on me a third part, and I knew it had to be what we carried from one year into the next. I knew that what God was saying, he was very clearly saying for me and for you, because it was going to be the secret to you going from one very tumultuous year into another year, 2021, and spiritually thriving, not cowering, not attacking a new year with fear, but spiritually thriving. Part one, remember three parts, part one was us figuring out what the sovereignty of God even was. Isaiah 40:28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. And it goes on and on. Jeremiah 32:17, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. We've looked at that theme a couple of different places. This is the classic Isaiah 46:10. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times to what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. That's sovereignty. That's what it means for God to be sovereign. He's bigger than it all. For the first time in a long time this week, I heard somebody refer to God as the man upstairs. And I recoiled. Haven't heard it in a long time. Any level of understanding of who God really is instantly erases the possibility of him being the man upstairs. He didn't leave that open as an option, except to small-minded people who don't grasp his sovereignty. God said, I am the sovereign creator. I am the sovereign sustainer of the universe and of the earth and the limitless heavens above it. Absolutely nothing is too hard for me. And we as fallen, sinful humans don't get the option of bringing God down to our level, recreating him in our image rather than realizing we're created in his. But that's where the great mystery of the ages, part two of God's sovereignty, that's where the subject starts. We didn't bring God down to our level. He brought himself there. And the emotion in a limitless God that caused him to come here was the emotion of love. That's amazing. He loved us so much beyond our comprehension. Ephesians 1:4. I'm starting to understand there's certain pieces of the Bible that like stand out. They stick out there. Everything hinges on them. This is one. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Before he made the world, he loved you. You were a long way from being born. God decided in advance of making the world, in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. What we shared here together last week, the Christmas week, part two of God's sovereignty, is what all of the stories of the Old Testament were leading up to. The theological lessons from the Old Covenant were written into the new covenant, this brand new, where Jesus would come and pay our sin debt and write his pattern for living, not on tablets of stone anymore. He would write his pattern for living on our hearts. He would literally put inside of us the desire and power to do the right thing. John 1:14, the word Jesus became human. He became flesh and made his home among us. Verse 10, we looked at it briefly. He came into the very world he created. The world didn't recognize him. 11, he came to his own people, the Jews. Even they rejected him. 12, but to all who believed in him, to all who accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. And here's how we finished up on Christmas Eve, just 2.5 days ago. And I've expanded this a little bit. The same God who spoke the universe into existence with a single sentence, God incarnate. That was so important for us to determine yet again this year. God incarnate, God in a human body, Jesus, the Savior, our Savior, my Savior. The God who already loved me before he created the world was doing exactly what had to be done to save me from my sins, to redeem me, to pay my sin penalty, to release me from the unbreakable chains of my sins, to embrace me into his family, into the family of God. That's part two of God's sovereignty. The God who was bigger than it all became one of us because it's what he so wanted to do. It gave him great pleasure. He was born on this earth to rebirth us. He was born here so that he could be reborn here in my heart. Okay. Sam, that's wonderful news. But how does that bring the sovereignty of God into focus now in my present daily problems as I enter into a new uncertain year? Sam, I can actually see the sovereignty of God marching on as whole empires rose and fell, prophesied to, they did. And yet God's almighty plan just kept marching on. Didn't stop. Didn't matter who tried to stop it. In our own generation, Adolf Hitler desperately tried to stop it by taking out the Jews. We've talked about it. He took out one half of every Jew on the planet, 6 million. Wanted to take out the other six. Going to stop the plan of God. Wasn't his plan. It was Satan's plan. And yet the sovereignty of God just kept marching, just keeps marching on. I can see that. I can see that against all possible odds, Pastor Chess. I do believe that the only begotten answer of God to my sin problem, arrived on this planet, and with all hell arrayed against him, he was crucified for my sins. I get that. I believe that. And I believe, Sam, that that's my personal truth, and I do believe he didn't stay dead. He defeated death and rose victorious. Jesus, God incarnate, rising from the dead, clinching his victory over sin and Satan, and offering me freedom from my sins, offering me eternal life in heaven after I die. The problem I'm having, Sam, in the light of God's sovereignty, I believe that Jesus came. I believe that Jesus died. I believe that Jesus rose again. I believe that Jesus is one day going to return, and I believe that I'm going to spend my forever with him. My big issue, Mr. Pastor Man, is not my salvation or my eternity. It's right now. It's right now. How is the sovereignty of God available right now in one of the most difficult yearly transitions I've ever made in my life, where I actually don't know what's going to happen in 4 months or 8 months or 12 months? I really don't know. The yesterday part, God's sovereignty yesterday, I get the yesterday part of God's sovereignty, and I get the forever part of God's sovereignty. I'm just struggling with the today part. The today part. How about today, Sam? How about today? And that's where part three, I think this is true, of God's sovereignty. That's part three unfolding. And it's an extension of part two, and part two is a fulfillment of part one. I'm not totally sure where we got the idea that the incarnation of God was something that happened one night in a manger in Bethlehem and lasted for 33 years, and then it was done. Jesus ascended back to heaven. All that happened, of course, and that's all true. But when Emmanuel, when God with us, arrived here on this planet to solve the ongoing sin problem of humanity, he didn't plan for all those centuries. He didn't move empires around so he could arrive, stay here briefly, and slip away. He came to pour out his sin healing into every corner of our soul and body and mind and will and emotion for all of time. He came to solve the sin problem. And when our Savior, when our sin Savior Jesus ascended back to heaven, he didn't have any intention of leaving us without the almighty presence of God in our lives. He would never leave us. He said so. He would never leave us without his constant, sovereign, present help in times of our greatest need. He said so, right out of the mouth of Jesus. And the fact is, he even expanded what it means to have the power and presence and protection of God in your life every single moment of every single day. Jesus' plan fulfilled with the Holy Spirit's infilling. Here it is, Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. Watch this. This is another one of these verses that just pops out of the Bible. It's a hinge around which the Bible revolves. He will give life to your, there it is, theta somata, your mortal bodies. That's everything you are. That's everything from your body. That's everything from your mind, your soul, your will, your emotions, your psyche. Everything you are is wrapped up in your theta somata. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. How? By this same Spirit living within you. I realize that sounds like just another point of theology. Jesus left and sent his Holy Spirit. What if it isn't supposed to be just another point of theology? What if it goes deeper than that? What if that was Jesus' gracious gift to empower you and infill you and transform you and guide you and gift you for just exactly what you would face at a time like this in the days ahead? Jesus himself said to his followers, John 16:7, in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, the parakletos, we've talked about that often. A parasite is something that comes alongside you and sucks out. A paraclete is something that comes alongside and pours in. The paraclete, the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. What do you know? Maybe somebody that does work for a nonprofit organization can actually figure out what's getting ready to happen, you think? We studied the Holy Spirit in depth 3 years ago. And we did so by pulling every passage in the entire Bible that mentions the Holy Spirit. And we lined it up on 27 pages. And we read and we reread it over and over for about 3 months. We were stunned. I was stunned by how huge a role the Holy Spirit is designed to play in every single aspect of our mortal being. Sometimes we get locked in, fixated on something the Holy Spirit does in one aspect, and we miss the other 90% of what the Bible says the Holy Spirit is there to do. But questions, what if the promised infilling, empowering, transforming, guiding, gifting Holy Spirit, what if he is designed to be the key to lifting you and filling you and empowering you, no matter how brutal the world around you becomes? What if he's the key inside of you? That seems to be the exact testimony of the early church. They faced a world that was so evil, and yet they showed a spiritual power on the inside that was 100,000 lumens of light shining into the world around them, changing them. Right into the sheer darkness, their light shone. What if that's the answer to the flickering 40-watt spiritual bulb? What if it's the answer to the inner transformation that would take you into a new year totally different than how you experienced last year? What if that infilling Holy Spirit wants to do that in and through you? And what if he wants to do it throughout 2021? Question, how willing would you be to allow that process to take place in the next year? Romans 8:5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. 15, since you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slave, instead you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him dearest Father, Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. If you truly want to have a year upcoming to be the most transforming year you've ever had in your life, even in the midst of chaos, whatever is going to come, we don't know. The first thing we need to do is not buy a gym membership or sign up for a marathon or join a book club. The most important thing we can possibly do is completely surrender our life to God. Real eternal life transformation doesn't start with a steely mind. It starts with a surrendered soul. And I want to issue you a challenge for this coming year, starting right now. Sometimes we kind of imagine that whatever the Holy Spirit does inside of us, whatever he's going to do or not do, His transforming work inside of our soul is active, and we're kind of passive. We're just going to kind of ride, and whatever he does, he does. What if that's not the way it's supposed to be at all? What if we're not supposed to just hope for the best when it comes to the Holy Spirit's transformation of who we are? What if we would take a bunch of passages that promise what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do inside of us every single day? And what if we prayed our submission to that process back to God over and over again? I wrote a prayer 3 years ago, but I have now rewritten it and rewritten it and rewritten it. You have it in your bulletin today. It is a prayer. And then I went back and underlined all the quotes, and then I went back and I put in quotation marks, and then I went back and I put in scripture references. I want to make sure you know that everything that's underlined there, everything with quotation marks, is the direct word of God, and that when you pray it, 27 quotes from the Bible are in that 2 pages. But I want you to pray this. Would you take on this challenge? I've been working on it personally. It's absolutely stunning when you start to take what God says he wants to do in you and you begin to pray it back to him as your personal prayer for the coming year. All about the transformation, all about allowing the sin to fall away, all about allowing the Spirit to fill, and it's a present participle, it's an ongoing action, a being filled, Ephesians 5:18, be being filled with the Spirit. I began to understand 5 years ago, I didn't realize, I always thought that was like filling a cup. You fill the cup and it runs over. It's not. It's like filling the sail of a ship. You're filled and you need to be being filled. And as the ship's sail is filled, it begins to propel you forward. And not being filled or quenching the Spirit, stifling the Spirit, allows the sails to be empty and our life to be slack and there's no forward progression at all. What if you prayed these prayers for the next month, every day? You know what I think? I think if you do that and you pray to God every day that he would transform your soul by the infilling power of his Holy Spirit, I don't think you're going to want to stop at the end of a month. Because you're going to see so much change in you. You're going to see so much power in you. It's called dunamis in Scripture. It's what we get the word dynamite from. So much spiritual power that you're going to say, this is who I want to be. This is what God intended me to be. This is my 2021. This is my 2021 and beyond. This is the person God designed me to be. And he designed me to be it right in the middle of one of the most chaotic times on the planet. But I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to step forward. Would you join me in this? Would you join me in this? Father, you see us in this room. You see me, and I need this as much as anybody here, to put aside the old me, to allow you to begin to forgive, cleanse, push aside, dig out the old sinful me, and replace it with a new transform me that Romans chapter 8 so describes. And I have a feeling there's a whole bunch of other people that need to do the same thing this year. And then to allow that infilling Spirit to start to bring that power, to start to bring the knowledge. You said, that you would lead us into all truth. These are all things you promised us. You promised us the fruit of the Spirit would grow in us and begin to shine out through. You promised the gifts of the Spirit would be available for us to help change the other people in our lives around, particularly the church. We want all of that to happen, but we're going to be aggressive about it. We're going to be proactive. We're going to ask you. We're going to pray these biblical sentences to you over and over again, until our lives are just not the same anymore. Oh God, build a passion in the people in this room to do this, to consistently do it, until they start to say, wow, I'm beginning to look like what I'm praying. I'm beginning to be transformed into a whole new me. May it be so. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening today. The sovereign creator of the universe longs to have a relationship with each of us. He dealt with our sin. He offers new life. He offers power and gifting for his glory at this specific time in history. He has a plan for his glory and your good now. Please join us for more discussion about this. With us are Sam Chess, senior pastor, Kevin Pierce, pastor of outreach and evangelism, Mitchell McGar, pastor of student ministries, Ian Croshaw, pastor of congregational care.
Just for myself and maybe everyone else out there right now and everybody in this church, we need to hear this, and we need to hear it maybe a second, third time. You were handpicked by God to be on this planet right now. Whatever's going on, and we can see that this last year was tough, and this year that we're in now promises perhaps to be too, but you weren't put here last generation or last century. You were put here right now, and it is imperative that the people looking on at your life see that the handpicked you is the person who is the 100,000 lumen light shining into their lives. I need to be that. And as I face this year, I'm like everybody else. I'm struggling some with the whole thought of where do we go from here? But what God has made so clear to me is you go from here. That's the whole point. We're not going to sit still. We're not going to hide in a corner. We're not going to cower with our shield of faith up, hoping that the fiery darts don't get through. We're going to pick up the shield of faith as an offensive weapon and the sword of the Spirit, and we are going to charge straight ahead. But to do that, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do in us and through us what he needs and wants to do. Real eternal life transformation doesn't start with a steely mind. It starts with a surrendered soul.
I love that thought, and I love what's been said in this sermon. And there is a lot we don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty. But I want to ask, what do we know? About what can we be confident? Well, there are two things. The first is God's goodness. Now, God's goodness means that he does always act towards us in love. He is kind. He is generous. He is a God of blessing. But his goodness also means that he's perfect. He cannot sin, and he cannot make a mistake. So if something's going on that we think is maybe less than good, it just can't be, because God can't do anything but the good. It's also the fact that God is sovereign. That means he is in complete control. No one controls him. He answers to no one. He does not need counsel or advice. And everything that occurs is part of his sovereign plan. It was ordained so that he would accomplish the purposes that he set forth. So think about this. If we're in Christ, we're more than conquerors through his goodness and sovereignty. We are sent with the authority of Jesus, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, to make disciples. We are part of the church of Jesus, against which the gates of hell will never prevail. We are designed for dominion on this earth, and we are redeemed to push back against the darkness. So we need to ask ourselves a question. Would we trade going through a time of great trial, a fiery furnace, or a den of lions, if we knew that we would see the power of God in or through it? We will. If God, through our trials, would sovereignly change the course of another life, or even change the course of history, is that trial worth it in his goodness and sovereignty? The answer to that question that each of us gives will actually reveal what we truly believe about God, about his goodness, about his sovereignty, and how big he is. So the question is, can you trust this good and sovereign God?
So I'd like to close with these following remarks. I agree with these gentlemen, Pastor Sam and Pastor Kevin. And Pastor Sam says something toward the beginning of his message that I really want to highlight. And he said, and I quote, "There is going to be a defining of those who are serious about walking out their faith, being lights in a very dark world, and those who simply wear the name Christian like an ornament," end of quote. And here's what came to my mind. We must be on guard as Christ followers. We must be that light to the world, shining forth the light of God's glory. Cultural Christianity will not survive the days ahead. Are we truly firebrands for the Lord or not? John Piper has a quote, and it sounds like it's a club, but it's actually true, and it's the outstretched arms of God that are calling with the following quote, "Wimpy worldviews produce wimpy Christians, and wimpy Christians will not survive the days ahead." So God wants us to be serious about his word, to be serious about prayer. So if you hear nothing else, may you hear this for 2021. May it be a radical, prayer-filled, transformative, word-centered year for your life, because that will change your life and my life for the kingdom of God, for his glory, and for his namesake. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love for us. May we be serious like never before in 2021, that we would live our lives for the sake of the advancement of the gospel. Keep us on the straight and narrow path, and not being distracted, not being deceived by the enemy and his plots and schemes, but instead being consecrated alone to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's in his beautiful name I pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to the program today. If you have questions about today's program or would like someone to pray with you, please text us at 772-205-6552. Or you can go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. We want to invite you to join us for worship each Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kinderman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of US 1. If you would like to learn more about us and opportunities here for your family, we encourage you to visit our website for more details. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May our sovereign and loving God show his power and grace to you this week. Please visit with us soon. It is our joy to bring you these messages each week. We trust that God is using them for his glory and your blessing. There is an expense for these broadcasts. We do want to offer you the opportunity to partner with us and expand this ministry. If you would choose to do so, we would like to send you something to say thank you. Our pastor, Sam Chess, has written a newly released book, Unmasking Revelation. The book removes the fear and confusion we have about the final book of the Bible. It helps us to see the truth that there is great joy and hope in it because Jesus gloriously wins and Satan miserably loses. We want to offer you a copy of this book for a donation of $15 or more. Simply go to our website at graceemmanuel.com. Click on the Giving tab. Drop down to Request Unmasking Revelation Book. Follow the directions. We thank you for your partnership.
Did you hear the good news? To run and hide, you can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Hubert McIntosh, CPA, a member of SOFA. Join me every Friday at 4 p.m. for my live call-in program on WCNO by talking about financial literacy. We were going to help eradicate your illiteracy by talking about Medicare, Social Security, qualified plans, investing, debts, and everything that will help you so you can be prepared for your financial future.
Pirates Cove Resort is a perfect place for business or pleasure, for families or fishermen, for resting and exploring. Our family-owned and operated hotel offers 50 rooms, all with high-speed internet access, with rooms overlooking the Manatee Pocket or our pool. With an outstanding full-service marina and a fun gift shop, Pirates Cove Resort and Marina offers something for everyone. For more information, we can be reached at 770-